worship a Savior who is not in the grave, a Savior who has conquered the grave. And that makes all the difference, that our God in the person of Jesus Christ is alive and well. We sang at the beginning of, kids will go here in one moment, but as before they go, we sang, the first song was God of Wonders. And I love that song because it speaks to the transcendence of God and the immanence of God. Okay, so just a little bonus, has nothing to do with the message, but as the children go and as we prepare to look into the Word of God, the transcendence of God is He is the God of wonders, majestic above us. He's enthroned in the heavens. He's above the universe. He is not confined by the created space of our vast universe and of our earth. He is bigger. He is completely other. He is the God of wonders. But yet, He is also the God of immanence. He's the God of transcendence, but He's the God of immanence, which is why we can sing, Father, hold me. The fact that He is so vast, but yet so personal and with us, is incredible. And so, thinking of the God of wonders, we come now to the Word of God, and the children go to children's church to learn, knowing that the God of wonders speaks intimately to each of us through His Word. And so as we approach it, as the children go, may we not go just to learn about a God that's way out there. He is a God that's way out there and big and huge, but He's also intimate and personal to us, and He knows exactly what we need to hear today. And so let's come with expectation to the Word of God. And with that, children are dismissed to go to Children's Church with Mrs. Conklin, and may we all have expectation this morning for the God of wonders encountering and speaking to us. So let me pray for us, and then we'll look into the Word of God together. Father, we thank You that You are the transcendent God. You are big and vast. You are all of those things of omnipresent, omniscient. You are the unchangeable One. You are the One who is completely self-sufficient in and of Yourself. You don't need anything because You are everything. But yet You're also so personal. You sent Your one and only Son, Jesus, to glorify Your great name, to satisfy our need for salvation, but also You to save me, to save us. So awesome, but yet so personal. And Father, it's with that understanding that we come expecting that You will speak, because You're a personal God who meets us right where we're at. So Holy Spirit, come to meet each one of us and to speak from this one message, from this one passage of Scripture, exactly to each of our situations what we need to hear. We believe You are able to do that. We believe that You desire to do that. Holy Spirit, speak, give us ears to hear what You would have to say to all of us and to each of us individually. Glorify Your name through it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been starting this series on undercurrents, those things that are underneath the surface of our lives and at the soul, at the heart level. We've talked about fear. We've talked about anger last week. Today, we want to talk about lies. Do you know how to keep an adult elephant captive? Well, here's how you do it. From the time they are very small, just born, you get a rope, and it doesn't even have to be very large, very thick, and you tie it around their foot, and you tie it around a wooden peg, and you nail it into the ground, just strong enough that as a baby elephant, they aren't able to break free. And elephants, for the rest of their lives, if they have that around their foot, or you just come back and you tie it around them, no matter how big they are, they will believe that they will not be able to break free. A full-grown, powerful elephant, if tied with a small rope that is driven into with a stake into the ground, that you and I could probably break free from if we really tried, that elephant will not even try because they believe that they are held captive by that rope. It's incredible, isn't it? Because those elephants have grown up believing a lie. They have grown up believing that because they were held captive to something when they were first born, that they are held captive to that for the rest of their lives. And lies are like that. Lies are those things underneath the surface that we believe that are not true of a child of God, that keep us enslaved, that keep us living right where we are at, not free and full in the abundant life that Christ has made possible for us. The thing is, most of us don't even realize we're enslaved by them, because they've been with us for so long, we don't even realize we're living according to them. We need to break free, and the way we break free is with a truth encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. This morning we want to talk from the book of John, John chapter 8, from verses 31 through verse 47 about lies. There are going to be three understandings that we come to, and then a application step in order to break free from the lies. And so I would invite you to follow along as I read this passage. We're going to be jumping around and referencing several verses, but I want you to have the whole picture of the passage. Jesus is talking about the truth of who he is. He's talking with Jewish leaders, Pharisees, and we pick up the conversation in John chapter 8, verse 31. It says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" You probably, if you've been around church at all, you probably have heard that one before. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, when we get to the application part, we often skip to the end. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And even if you haven't been in church a lot, that's one of those, it's one of those cultural things that gets said a lot. If you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Even people who don't even realize Jesus said it will hold on to that one. Verse 33, they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." So Jesus said to them, verse 42, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? I'm telling you the truth. Why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Imagine being in the middle of that conversation. Three understandings and then an application. And with each of these understandings, there are two truths that we want to gather. So first, We want to understand the two fathers. Sermon notes are in your bulletin. You can follow along as we work our way through. In this passage, there are two fathers that are mentioned. The first is the devil. Verses 39 to 41, and then verse 44. In 39 through 44, these Pharisees claimed Abraham as their father. Biologically, yes, but Jesus made clear that spiritually, Abraham was not their father. Instead, verse 44, you belong to your father who? If you have it there in front of you, you belong to your father who? The devil. Boy, how would you like to hear that? We'll find out what that was all about later. So here you have in this conversation, Jesus, they're saying, we have a father and our father is Abraham. Biologically speaking, they were descendants of Abraham. They were the seed of Abraham. But Jesus is saying, biologically, yes, you can trace your roots back to Abraham. But spiritually speaking, your father is the devil. Why? Because they wanted to kill Jesus. Look at what he says in verses 39 to 41. Abraham's our father, they answered. And he says, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do the same things Abraham did. As it is, you're determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things, and you're doing the things your father does. Saying, if Abraham was really your spiritual father, you would not be trying to kill me, because Abraham would never have done that. Because Abraham came from God as I have come from God. Friends, the truth of the scriptures is this. All people physically are born into this world, but spiritually born as children of the devil. I was there. Without Christ, you were there. And if you're without Christ today, he is your father. Because we are born into a world that is run by sin and the brokenness of Adam's sin, we have all become slaves to it, and our father is the devil. That's a hard word, isn't it? But it's the truth of Scripture that we need to understand, that there are two options, two fathers. The first is the devil, and the second is God. Verses 41 to 42, they say, we're not illegitimate children. They protested. The only father we have is God himself. But Jesus says, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now I'm here. I'm not come on my own, but he sent me. In verse 47, he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reasons you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Though the Pharisees claimed God as their father, he was not. Because if he was, then they would not have wanted to kill Jesus. And they would have believed that he came from the Father. The reason they did not hear him was because they did not belong to the Father. Friends, there must be a place in our life, a time in our lives where we recognize that we are in sin and that therefore the devil is our father. But that God in the person of Jesus Christ came, though perfect, God in the flesh, without sin, died on a cross to pay for the sin of the world. And that by repenting of our sin and putting our faith in Christ and in Christ alone for salvation, we are forgiven and we are adopted, literally brought into the family of God. We are pulled from the family of Satan and we are brought into the family of God. Satan, the devil, is no longer our father. God is our father. What a beautiful picture that we can be taken away from the devil as our father and brought, adopted into the family of God. Friends, there are two fathers. Which one is yours? You must break free from the devil as your spiritual father to God as your father. And the only way you will be able to break free from lies is if your heavenly father is God. That the devil is not your father, that God is your heavenly father. Two fathers. Understand the two from this passage. Secondly, second understanding, understand that out of this relationship with who is your father, to understand that there are then two identities. The first identity, if the devil is your father, then you are one who is enslaved as a child of the devil. You are an enslaved child of the devil. That is your identity. Verses 33 through 35 says this. They answered, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever." When the devil is your father, the result is a slavery identity, believing that you are enslaved to sin. That this is just who I am, that sin has power over us. Until we are set free by the power of Christ, we are enslaved to sin as a child of the devil. The other option, when God is our father, we have become a set free child of God. A set free child of God. Look what verse 36 says. "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Is that good news? If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Not it's possible that you will be free. Not if you try hard enough, you will be free. Not if one day you will be free. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Friends, if you're a child of the King, if Jesus is your Savior and Lord and you've been made a child of God, you are no longer enslaved to sin because you have been set free from sin. His children are free positionally from sin. Now understand this. There's our positional and our experiential. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you are a child of God, you stand before him as free from the power of sin. One of the greatest lies that the enemy will give to you is this: you are just a human being and you're just gonna sin. That's who you are. Have you heard that one? Have you heard others say that? Have you heard the whisper that why even try? Because you're just a human being, you're just going to sin. Positionally, you are free from the power of sin in Christ. You're not enslaved. You've been set free. Now, our life is a life of living where we become more and more free in the way that we live by giving up the slave identity and becoming more of the set free child of God identity. We will continue to grow in our identity more and more and in our experience more and more from our position in Christ that we are set free children of God to living more and more as set free children of God. And that's the joy of the Christian life. Is that the further we journey with Christ, the more we understand the truth of who we are in him, that we will live more according to our true identity as set free kids. If we are still living as enslaved ones, we haven't gotten our true identity. We're living according to a lie. Because the truth is that you've been set free. You've been set free from the power of sin. You know, after the Civil War, freedom was declared. Slavery was no longer allowed. But there were many, many slaves who chose to stay right where they were and live and work as if nothing had changed for their master. And the reason is they had absolutely no idea what to do and how to live free. Friends, many of us are still living. You are a set free child of God, but there hasn't been much change. You're still living according to the way in which you were before you came to Christ. You are still living as though sin has power over you. If the Son sets you free, then what? You will be free indeed. One of the most powerful lies that we have to fight against is this is just the way I am. I will always struggle with sin, and this is just the way it will be. If the Son sets you free, he never intended for you to live the same way. He never intended it. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Third understanding. Understand the two messages. Understand the two messages. The first message is lies from the devil. Verse 38. I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father, the devil. Verse 44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The devil speaks one language. What is it? Lies. That's all he can speak. He's a liar and the father of lies, and his words lead to his actions, and his actions are intended on murder. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He wants to destroy your life. And one of the ways he will do it is by lying to you. And the more he lies to you, if you believe it, it will destroy you. You will be a set free child of God who lives under the destructive power of the enemy, not because he is able to, but because you have chosen to allow him to. And many times it's because we're living according to lies. The way he sucks us in, he speaks lies to us. Dr. Rob Reamer gives three main lies. And I don't have this on the screen, but I encourage you to write it down. Because I want to make sure we come back to this for a moment. Three core lies he shares in his book. The first is this. It's the performance lie. The performance lie. The performance lie says this. Value is dependent upon your performance. Your value as a person is dependent upon your performance. If you do really well, then God's really happy with you. If you don't do so well, then God's not happy with you. Your value is dependent upon your performance. And so you can either live in shame or you can live in pride. Because if you don't do well, oh boy, I'm just horrible, terrible. If you do well, then it's like, oh man, look how great I am. It's the lie of performance. A second core lie is the people-pleasing lie. That your value is dependent upon if people love you or if they like you. Your value is dependent upon others. If people like you and they say, boy, you're great, boy, your value is pretty high. If people come around you and they love you, then you feel pretty good about yourself. Your value is good. Your value is there because people like you. Conversely, if you don't, if people don't care for you that much, if people don't love you, if people have abandoned you, if people have not been kind to you and loving to you, then you don't feel a lot of value because people haven't loved you or cared for you. They don't like you. The third lie, core lie, is this, the control lie. The performance lie, the people-pleasing lie, and the control lie. The control lie says that your value is dependent on whether you are in control of your life. And can there be any more untrue statement than you being in control of your life? Control is an absolute illusion. Only God is in control. And so if things are going well and you're able to manage your life really well and things are going good, because what do we say? If life is going well, then you must be doing something right. And if life isn't going so well, then guess what? You're not doing something right. It's as if your performance, you are in control, and what you do determines whether things are going well or not. In reality, you can be doing everything right and things not go well. And you can be doing everything great and still not be doing things right before the Lord. That's why Habakkuk said, why do the wicked prosper? If we do it on control and how things are going, it's a lie that deceives us. Lies from the devil. The other message is truth from God. Verses 38, verse 40, verses 45 to 47. Verses 45 to 47 specifically, Jesus says, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. And the reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. With God as our Father, we hear truth from him. Because he speaks truth that leads to life. Satan speaks lies that lead to death. The Father speaks truth that leads to life. And so there's truth that combats those three core lies that are related to our identity. The truth against the performance lie is this, that God loves you no matter your performance if you are in Christ. He doesn't love you more if you do better, and he doesn't love you less if you don't do well. Because the reason he loves you is because he chose you, and it's not based on your performance. That's the truth of God's love for you. It's based on his choice in Christ of you. You can't earn more of his love. You can't lose more of his love. He loves you because he's chosen you. The truth that goes and combats the people-pleasing lie is that God loves you whether people love you or whether they like you. One person said one time that if people don't like you, if people don't love you, it's because they lack discernment. Because if they really understood what God thought of you, they'd think you were pretty special. It's the truth that combats the people-pleasing lie. The truth that combats the control lie is that God is in control, and he loves you with an everlasting love. And so you can trust him to take care of your life. If God cares for the sparrows who cost a half a cent and knows when they fall to the ground and cares about something that meaningless and insignificant in this world, how much more will your Father in heaven care for you? It's the truth that he loves you and cares for you. It combats the control lie. The devil speaks lies. God speaks truth. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal what you believe so that you can anchor yourself in truth. Three understandings. Two fathers, the devil or God. Two identities, enslaved by sin or a set free child of God. And two messages, lies from the devil and truth from God. I told you we would then look at something practical for a moment, and here's how to live in truth and in freedom. Go back to verse 31, the first verse of this section, John 8, 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We need to focus on the first part. Before we get to the second, the first, Jesus says, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. To live in truth and freedom, first we make Jesus' teaching our home. Now, my NIV that I grew up using and that I read from when I preach on Sunday mornings or do any Bible studies, I read, if you hold to the truth. Now, the best understanding from the original language is if you remain or abide in the truth. In other words, the sense of what Jesus is saying is if his teachings are your home, your place, the place where you live, where you start life from, then you will be his true disciple. Friends, this is not about making the teachings of Jesus your Sunday residence when you come for a morning service for 75 or 90 minutes. It's not even about if you come to Sunday school to gather around the teachings of Jesus for an extra 60 minutes in the morning. If you have 135 or 150 minutes out of your week, is that your home? You would be crazy. People would look at you as if you were out of your mind if you said, for 135 minutes, I live at 3699 Saxonburg Boulevard, Pittsburgh, PA 15238. The rest of the time, I live at some other place. That's my home. People would think, you're out of your mind. That's not your home. You live there for 135 minutes a week. The place that you're there for the rest of the minutes, however many thousands it is, that's your home. Friends, many of us look at the Word of God and we make the teachings of Jesus our home for 135 minutes or 150 minutes a week. And the rest of the time we make the lies of the evil one that have been with us. We take the philosophies of the world. We take what we think is the right way. And we take all of these teachings. We take what mama told us or grandpa told us or all these things that are not from scripture, from the truth of God. And we make those our home. And we say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. A follower of Jesus casts all those other things, unless they are what Jesus said, it casts all those things aside and it says, Jesus, your truth, your teachings are my home. That's where I live. That's where I start from. So that day in and day out, you are learning to read and to understand the truths of God's word, that you are understanding the teachings and that you are applying these teachings of Jesus to your life. This fall, we're working on and developing and we'll be starting a new discipleship ministry for the church. Friends, we don't want another Bible study. We want you to be able to gather around the Word of God for yourself and to learn to study it on your own in that midst of a small group where you can do life with each other, be able to share in the study of Scripture, but that it would launch you into on Monday and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday and on Friday and on Saturday, you are in the Word of God, you understand how to handle it, how to study it, how to rightly divide it in your own life, so that it becomes not you having to come to hear someone tell you the teachings of Jesus, but you can learn the teachings of Jesus on your own through the guidance of the Holy Spirit in Scripture, and you can make the Scriptures your home. Because what did Jesus say? Does he say, those who gather around my teachings 150 minutes a week are my disciples? No, he says, those who remain in and abide and make my teachings their home, they are truly my disciples. Friends, we love you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. But how do you know the truth if they haven't become your home? If you make the teachings of Jesus your home, then you become aware of his truth. It's the result of making his teachings your home. As his truth becomes your new home, you will begin to see things more clearly. And you'll also become aware of the lies that you are believing. As truth shines a light on lies, lies become exposed, and you begin to see them for what they are. Many times we don't understand the lies we believe because we don't know what the truth is. You may have heard that bank tellers, when they are trained to be a bank teller, don't go through all the possible counterfeits of all the bills. That would take forever. What they do is those who are training a bank teller will give them real bills. And they are to study that bill and know that bill inside and out so that when they get a counterfeit, they know the true one so well that the counterfeit stands out and screams, "This isn't real." See, we want to be aware of the lies, but we can focus all day on the lies and miss out on what the truth is. We want to become more aware of the truth, and as we become more aware of the truth, then we are going to become more aware of the lies. So we want to make Jesus' teaching our home so much that we become aware of his truth, that then we will know the truth and the truth will set us free, that we will then, it'll be the natural reaction where we will watch the truth to set us free. There will be those moments when you're reading scripture, when you're coming into a life situation where you have always approached life in one way, and all of a sudden the truth of God's word just shows itself, and it's like a light bulb goes on and be like, "Ah, I've been believing this all this time, and here, this is true." You have those aha light bulb going on moments because the truth of God will set you free. We have to hold to the teachings of Jesus, making his teachings our home, becoming more aware of the real, authentic truth, and then the truth will set us free. And we will begin to live more and more. And friends, understand this. We all, no matter where you're at in your life and your walk with God, there are always lies that the enemy has been feeding you that Jesus wants to set you free of. I am confident that there's not one of us in here that can say, "I don't believe any lies." The more we know the truth, the greater and greater freedom Jesus can bring to us. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So over in the parsonage where we live next door, it's set up on some of the bottom floor, the same way our house, the parsonage in Emporium, where we were at before, was set up. When you walk in, the living room's on your left, the dining room is behind that, and the kitchen straight ahead. That's the way things were set up in the parsonage and Emporium. Here at this parsonage here in Dorseyville, all the bedrooms are upstairs. In Emporium, they were all down to the right. Now, what's interesting is you can walk down the hallway in the same way, walk in the front door, walk it down the hallway, and the kitchen is right there, same way. But here in Emporium, or here in Dorseyville, the light switch is where? On the left. The light switch in Emporium was on the right. We lived in Emporium for 13 years. In August, we will have lived here 3 years. There are many times where I walk in the kitchen and go like this, "Where's the light switch?" And it then hits me after a few moments of fuddling around, not hitting the light switch, "Oh yeah, it's here." And turn it on the left. See, I think there's a powerful example for us here. As many of us, we've been living a long time with the light switch on the right. We'll call that the lies. You've been living for as long as you know through just whispers of the enemy, through traumatic events, through the ways that you were raised, through even false teaching that you've gone under, that there you've been walking into life and you've been going like this and the light has been on the right-hand side. But now you've come to Jesus and you're flicking it and there's nothing there because Jesus says, there's a new home, the light switch, the truth is on the left. I still, as I said, will walk into the kitchen sometimes and I'll go like this and I'll miss. But the longer I live here, my reaction is being changed, and I'll get the left, right, correct. Friends, this is the way it is when we walk with God. The lies have become so pervasive in our lives, we believe the lies are truth. And the more we live in the teachings of Jesus, the more we realize it's not on the right-hand side anymore. It's on the left. because he got a new home. Your home are his teachings. Your home is now Jesus. You are no longer a child of the devil. You are a child of God. You are no longer enslaved by sin. You're a set free child of the King. You no longer have to listen and believe the lies because your Father speaks truth. And the more you know the truth and make your home in it, you will be set free. I want to lead us in just a few moments of just allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to us and to show us truth.